Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are stepping up and taking personal responsibility to achieve true success. Understanding that empowerment comes through accountability. It's time to own it, your past, present, and future vision. Aim without accuracy is merely wishful thinking, and without taking personal responsibility, growth is impossible. When we take responsibility for our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, we gain more control over our lives. This mindset encourages self-reflection, learning from mistakes, and actively seeking opportunities for improvement. It's easy to throw up your hands and play the blame game while waiting for things to work out on their own. Taking the first step is more challenging, but infinitely more rewarding. Inventory what didn't work out, why, how, and what you could do to enhance your role and alter the outcome. Ultimately, personal responsibility empowers us to shape our future and become the best version of ourselves. Taking personal responsibility doesn't mean owning it all or claiming the sole blame for all failures or unintentional outcomes. It means looking deep into your life to see how your behavior played a part, whether that was a starring role or a supportive character. It's having the courage to say, yes, I did it. I was operating on the knowledge I had at the time, which was limited, and as a result, I acted impulsively without the critical knowledge I needed to make an educated and positive move that protected myself and others. But having taken responsibility for my actions, I have learned and grown, which will help me avoid similar situations in the future, and for that, I'm grateful. Isn't that so much more positive than playing the blame game full of shame and regret? So, if you're scratching your head thinking, I'm not sure I have anything to take responsibility for, keep listening. Odds are you denied your part to quickly recover and move forward. Let's revisit something to learn some new strategies and develop important tools that you can use along your journey. On Solutional's LinkedIn profile, I found the power of accountability, why taking responsibility is key to personal and professional success. Accountability is the cornerstone of personal and professional success. It's the ability to take responsibility for our actions, decisions, and behaviors, and to accept the consequences that come with them. The power of accountability lies in its ability to help us achieve our goals, build better relationships, and become more successful in our personal and professional lives. At its core, accountability is about ownership. It's about taking ownership of our actions, decisions, and behaviors, and recognizing that we have the power to make a difference in our lives and the lives of others. When we hold ourselves accountable, we become more committed to our goals, and we're more likely to follow through on our commitments. In our personal lives, accountability can help us become more self-aware and develop better relationships with those around us. When we hold ourselves accountable, we're more likely to admit our mistakes, learn from them, and then make changes to improve our behavior. This can lead to stronger, healthier relationships as we become more empathetic, compassionate, and understanding of those around us. Accountability can also help us achieve our personal goals. When we hold ourselves accountable, we're more likely to stay on track and make progress toward our objectives. Whether we're working towards a fitness goal, learning a new skill, or building a new habit, accountability can help us stay motivated and focused, even when we face challenges and setbacks. In the workplace, accountability is essential for building trust and fostering a positive work culture. When we hold ourselves accountable, we become more reliable and dependable, and we're more likely to meet our deadlines and commitments. This can lead to increased productivity, better teamwork, and improved morale as our colleagues and superiors come to trust us and value our contributions. Accountability can also help us develop better leadership skills. When we hold ourselves accountable, we become more effective communicators, problem solvers, and decision makers. We're better able to manage our time and resources, delegate tasks, and motivate our teams to achieve their goals. By modeling accountability, we can inspire others to take ownership of their actions and become more successful in their own careers. Here are some facts that demonstrate the power of accountability. It builds trust and respect. When individuals take responsibility for their actions, they earn the trust and respect of those around them. This is because accountability demonstrates integrity, honesty, and a willingness to learn and improve. People who are accountable are viewed as reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. It encourages learning and growth. When individuals take ownership of their mistakes, they're more likely to learn from them and to grow as a result. Accountability is about recognizing and accepting one's weaknesses, and it proves an opportunity to develop new skills and strategies to overcome them. When people are accountable, they're more open to feedback, willing to learn, and eager to improve. It enhances performance. People who are accountable for their actions tend to be more focused, motivated, and driven. They're more likely to set clear goals, establish plans, and follow through with their commitments. As a result, they achieve more and are more productive. Additionally, when individuals take responsibility for their actions, they're less likely to engage in negative behaviors like blaming, complaining, and making excuses. It fosters collaboration and teamwork. In a team setting, accountability is crucial to building trust and collaboration. When team members are accountable, they can depend on one another to meet their commitments, to communicate honestly and openly, and to work towards common goals. Accountability fosters a sense of shared responsibility and ownership, which is essential for effective teamwork. It also promotes personal happiness and fulfillment. When individuals take responsibility for their actions, they experience a sense of control and empowerment. They're less likely to feel victimized by their circumstances, and they're more likely to take proactive steps towards achieving their goals. Accountability also helps to build self-esteem and confidence, which contributes to overall happiness and fulfillment. So why is accountability so important? The answer lies in its ability to drive personal and professional success. When individuals are accountable, they're more likely to take ownership of their goals, set clear objectives, and work hard to achieve them. They're also more likely to learn from their mistakes, to develop new skills, and to grow as individuals. As a result, they achieve more and they're happier and more fulfilled in their personal and professional lives. Sounds like a great summary, but how can we become more accountable in our personal and professional lives? Well, here are a few tips to get you started. Set clear goals and expectations. Setting clear goals and expectations can help to provide a roadmap for success. When we know what's expected of us, it's easier to hold ourselves accountable for our actions. Take ownership of your work. Whether it's a project at work or a personal goal, take ownership of it. Be accountable for the outcomes and take responsibility for any mistakes. Be proactive. Proactivity is a key aspect of accountability. Take the initiative to identify and solve problems before they become bigger issues. Learn from mistakes. When mistakes happen, take the time to reflect on what went wrong and identify ways to avoid making the same mistake in the future. Communicate openly and honestly. Open and honest communication is critical for accountability. When communicating with others, be transparent about your actions and decisions and take responsibility for any mistakes. The power of accountability cannot be overstated. It's a fundamental component of personal and professional success, and it's something that we can all develop with practice and commitment. By taking ownership of our actions, we become more empowered, more effective, and more successful in all areas of our lives. It requires a willingness to be honest with yourself, to set clear goals and expectations, and to stay committed and focused on your desired outcomes. But what happens when you take all the blame? That's a slippery slope because as a codependent, it's easy to look to yourself for blame, shouldering all the responsibility. Does that make sense to you? Are you the first to blame yourself? I must have done something to cause this person to react this way. If only I'd done this or that, I could have controlled the outcome. There's the trigger word we're all looking for is controlled. Really understanding what's in your control and what's out of your control. As a codependent, you want to think that you have more control than you actually do, whether that's positive control or negative. I say it that way because so many times a codependent is thinking that they're being helpful by meddling or overdoing or inserting their opinions, ideas, and advice into other people's lives, but really it's for a sense of control. Not in the domineering, controlling way, but in the perceived helpful way. Aha, control or perceived control is key here. It's time to be honest with yourself. And you can only do this from a higher vantage point. I always like to say that because it gives you a good visual of kind of climbing up over your life or over the situation and looking down. And when we look down, things become smaller, right? The perception or the shrinking of the situation becomes more manageable, and we can look at it as more of a map of what happened. Look how things panned out. Where are you in this little board game of life? Can you see where you might have taken a wrong turn? Or maybe not a wrong turn, but just one that wasn't quite the best for you. Now, I want to urge you to let there be holes in your story. Because what will happen is, as you're looking back and you're filling in the gaps, you will fill those gaps in where you don't have the whole story. Maybe it's only from your perspective, and in order to have that narrative in your mind, you want to fill in the gap of what the other person was thinking. I urge you not to do this because depending upon, well, in each situation, you're not going to know because you're not the other person. But many times we want to blame ourselves. So we'll take a lens of something that we did wrong. Or on the other side, you might be giving yourself more credit than due. So I urge you to stop the story where the facts end. It's okay for things to be unresolved or vague. What you're trying to do here is you're trying to learn from your role. We've all heard of what ifs. Well, what if this happened? What if this happened? It can be really easy to what if a story into a whole different story. And if you keep telling yourself that over and over again, it becomes fact in your own mind. So again, get a better vantage point. Look down at the situation, walk through your role, and let there be holes in your story. All you know is what you know, and that's enough. Jessica from Wild About Wellbeing coaches us on taking responsibility for our own lives. My 5 steps to stop letting your past dictate your future. Here are the 5 steps that I use, said Jessica, to take responsibility in my own life. I hope that it will be helpful for you to start moving on from the past. Step 1, acknowledge. Whatever led you to being stuck in the past and resentful about a certain person or situation did happen. There's no point trying to ignore it or forget about it. Acknowledging that it happened is vital. If you can't acknowledge it happened, you'll never be able to take responsibility for your part in it. If you can't take responsibility, you'll never get over it. In this step, acknowledge both the event itself and all the effects it's had on your life since. So grab a piece of paper. Here is some action items. Number one, write down the event in as much detail as possible, but avoiding any judgment statements. You want an account that states only the facts of what happened. Two, list all the ways in which this event has affected you. You should consider areas like your emotions, your behaviors, your relationships, etc. Got that? All right, on to step two, perspective. The first thing that you wrote, the account of the event, you cannot change. That event would have been seen completely different by the other person. An objective viewer would have had yet another account of the event. When we remember events, we embellish them. This means that the memories are quite different from what actually happened. Even if we could change what happened, we wouldn't be able to genuinely remember it in order to do so. The list of things you've allowed that event to do to you, that's what you can change. In fact, these are the things you owe it to yourself to take steps to change. So pick up that pen. Here's an action item. Number one, rewrite the event from the other person's point of view. That could be tricky, right? Number two, it's time to ask yourself some important questions. Did the other person involved intend that you should have allowed it to affect you in the way it has? Did the other person involved intend that you should have allowed it to affect you in the way it has? Did they truly cause any of the things you feel about the event now? Did they make you take on limiting core beliefs, which won't allow you to move forward? Spoiler alert, that person didn't set out for you to have the list of effects. Maybe they've even forgotten the details about what happened. Okay, moving into step three, imagine. You've now done enough work to see you are responsible for how you behaved at the time of the event and since. You choose to allow the event to hurt you every time that you react in a way that you blame on the event. So here's an action. What would you feel now when reminded by that event? How would you like to react now instead of the negative behaviors and beliefs on your list? Outline the dream reaction you would have when a trigger came up to remind you of that event. I want you to imagine it in bright, full color with all the details. I want you to think about a situation where previously you have been triggered. Let your mind see everything around you and inhale the smells in the air. You're making this as real as possible, so also think about what sounds you're hearing. Finally, think about yourself and your physical and emotional feelings. You're teaching your brain that the trigger can create a different experience. The brain cannot always tell the difference between visualization and reality. This means we can use a visualization technique to change our reactions to triggers. Step four, next steps. It may not be enough to work through the memory of an event, even if you're committed to changing your reactions. It may be that a trigger is too strong to be able to get through it with this work. There are certain triggers that we need to find ways of managing or removing entirely from our lives. It's perfectly okay to remove toxic people, places, and things from your life. So here's an action. Think about the main things that trigger you and whether there are any that you need to eliminate. If that feels too strong, you may want to at least think about what boundaries you can put in place. This doesn't mean that you should get rid of the trigger without doing the work. You still must take responsibility for all you've subjected yourself to since the event. And step 5, growth. These 5 steps are not the end, and you will need to repeat them around all sorts of events now and in the future. By taking action wherever you need to, you will learn to take responsibility more quickly. It's important to acknowledge the progress you make. When we have more work to do, it can be hard to stop and look at where we've come from already. It may feel arrogant to praise our progress, but if we don't acknowledge it, there's a risk we will slip backward. Here's an action. How are you going to make sure that you continue to recognize your progress? It might be by working this process with a close friend, so you can hold each other accountable. You could start a journal where you continue to work through these steps for other events. I hope these 5 steps change your life as much as they've changed mine, said Jessica. It's easy to think everything we've been through is someone else's fault, but it's time we realize we are responsible for our actions, not someone else. If we can take responsibility, we can move forward. Oh boy, letting mistakes in the past go is so difficult to do. I mean, we can say, sure, I forgive myself. I've already gotten over it. But what happens when those memories resurface? Do you replay all the guilt and the blame? How did I let this happen? Why couldn't I see it for what it was? Why did I let it go on for so long? Notice all the blame that you're putting on yourself. If you've been down this road a time or two, it might be time to push back. Stop. Tell yourself, there's no answers here. You've been through this over and over and over again. Just forgiveness and grace is left. Ease out of those thoughts and agree to let them lay right where you found them. Remember when we said you may not have all the details, you may not have all the sides of the story. There might be holes and gaps. Let it lay where you found it. Step over the mess and get back to growing. A mistake is an action or judgment that was misguided or wrong. Simple as that. Notice the past tense use. It's in the past. It was a mistake. An action or judgment you made without all the knowledge or experience you needed to make another choice, a more positive choice. Listen, it's okay to be sad about the time you lost or the people who were negatively impacted. Make amends where you can and let them know you're committed to growth, so you don't repeat the same patterns. Megan Newton enlightens us on responsibility versus blame, found at evolveinnature.com. You may or may not be familiar with the drama triangle, but don't worry, we're going to cover that too. It's a process of healing that includes taking responsibility for yourself, shifting from the victim, villain, or hero into empowerment. But this can be really tough to embrace when you've been in relationships filled with blame, a dearth of self-accountability, or the absence of a certain attachment figure. Most people seek therapy for past or present-day issues that are typically relational in nature. This usually means you initially come to therapy from the perspective that either no one else is to blame, like I'm not good enough, my parents were perfect, and I'm a burden, or everyone else is to blame. He hurt me. She's controlling. They're selfish. You might also hope that your therapist will agree with you. Of course, the quickest way out of discomfort is to find someone who will shore up with your perspective. While they may relieve you of the immediate discomfort, in the long term, it does nothing for you because your nervous system remains perpetually in threat response. defending you from the world with shame or blame entrenched in a cycle of victimhood. Sounds awful. Taking healthy responsibility can be confusing and difficult if you grew up experiencing abuse, neglect, criticism, dismissiveness, or codependency in your relationship with your caregivers. When caregivers cannot provide consistently healthy relationships for their children, a child believes this is happening because of me. It's my fault, or I'm not good enough. This kind of self-centric thinking is all that is possible for a developing brain. Cognitively, you do not have another choice but to think this way as a child. When caregivers are unable to attune to their children's self-blaming thinking, the adult either explicitly blames the child for their feelings or behaviors, "If you didn't act like that, I wouldn't be angry," or implicitly blames the child by ignoring, withholding, or treating the child with kindness and affection when the child apologizes or takes care of the parent's needs. It's a powerless experience as a child, and again, entrenches the child's mind that they're ultimately at fault and therefore responsible for fixing the problem somehow. Sound familiar? If these experiences happen to you, you must recognize what did not belong to you. Let me repeat it. Your parents' behaviors, the way they treated you, and their suffering or unhappiness do not belong to you. It did not belong to you then, and it does not belong to you now. The role of the parent is not the same as the role of a child. Sure, bad things likely would have happened if you didn't do the caretaking or self-shaming when you were a kid, but bad things happening doesn't make it your responsibility to prevent the bad things. Perhaps one of the most difficult things about untangling responsibility from blame as it relates to your childhood is that by understanding your parents' shortcomings, suffering and substance use, or emotional chaos and maturity weren't your fault. That means you also did not possess the power to fix it. This may sound like a small thing, but for many people, this is the crux of healing. Fixing it can take many forms. In your childhood, it might have looked like this: making yourself feel bad, responsible for quelling the parental outburst, apologizing, physically, practically, or emotionally taking care of your parents' needs, taking care of your siblings' needs, learning the adult responsibilities in order to take care of your own needs. Accepting that you don't possess the superpower of fixing, healing, or rescuing initiates a deep grieving process. As a child, you were allowed to believe that you had such powers. It felt good to have a way to belong. Giving up this perceived role or power is a tremendous loss in self-identity that must be reckoned with to experience your authentic self. Healthy responsibility means recognizing what belongs to whom without declaring you or someone else bad or wrong. Notice that I didn't say, for example, because you believe you're not good enough, your parents are bad, messed up people. That is blame, and blaming your parents will not help you heal in any way whatsoever. They did the best they could and are imperfect people too. But understanding what does not belong to you in your relationship with them will allow you to heal. Why? How? By distinguishing what isn't yours, you can begin to thaw the perpetual state of fear or anxiety in your body and instead feel the authentic emotions of sadness or anger that fear has been protecting you from. In other words, you can have your authentic self. What does belong to you, however, is how you feel, what you think, and how you behave. This is what you're responsible for, past, present, and future. You can't change the past, but you are responsible for how you respond to it now. Instead of blaming your parents for the past, taking responsibility today includes recognizing your feelings accurately, effectively processing those feelings. understanding the beliefs you developed in childhood about self and others. Identifying your present triggers, not what triggers you, but what is getting triggered in you. Resolving the underlying trigger. Identifying your own needs or wants, not identifying others' needs, wants, or behaviors. Meeting your own needs and wants. No one is responsible for taking care of you but you. Taking responsibility for your own unhealthy reactions, beliefs, or projections. Learning how to respond to your triggers and conflict with healthy responses. Identifying and maintaining your personal boundaries. And communicating how you feel, what you think, and what you need as it pertains to you, not the other person. Blaming is easy. It's hard work to take responsibility. If you grew up in a household where you were often criticized or abused, or your caregivers were not accountable for their own feelings and behaviors in relationships with you, you might feel defensive to these ideas. It might be important for you to know that taking responsibility for yourself does not mean you are bad or wrong. If you grew up in a household where you were often dismissed or neglected, suffered the loss of a parent, or your caregivers were not accountable for their own feelings and behaviors in relationship, you might be feeling anxious or starting to shut down in response to some of these ideas. Without internal reflection and emotional self-growth work, the voice of the parent becomes the self in adulthood. This is how generational trauma and patterns of dysfunction continue, and these patterns rob you of a life lived by your authentic self. I love some of these ideas, and I actually have witnessed them myself. Growing up in a divorced family, taking on some of the emotions at an early age and having to grow up, maybe sooner than I should have, contributed to my codependency. Now, there's no blame in that, and we all don't necessarily know as we're learning what kind of negative behaviors we're passing on early too. You know, I had my first child when I was 22. What did I know? I'm sure there were so many things that were still rolling around in my head that I had not yet figured out, named, or even started to address yet. All of which I could have definitely passed down in one way or another to my children. So there's no blame or judgment there. It's just an opportunity to dig a little bit deeper, parse everything out so you can get a good look at it, and start taking responsibility. It's not broken. It can be fixed. You can address these ideas. Even with codependency, it's a deeply rooted compulsive behavior. But it's not a terminal disease. It's something that you can work on. It's triggers that you can address, and it's a different way of thinking that you can embrace. Andrew Linares shares more on Evolve in Nature with Lost in the Drama Triangle, Understanding the Paradigm. If you're lost on a journey, the first step in getting back on course is to recognize that you're not where you want to be. And the second is to figure out exactly where you are. The same principles apply to our relationships. When we find ourselves lost in conflict with others or with ourselves, and trying but unable to navigate the discord, we must identify the roles we're embodying in the conflict and take 100% responsibility for assuming those positions. The motivation behind all of us stepping into these roles is power. Human beings need to experience a sense of power or agency, which is the ability to affect change in one's life. But when we don't know how to access power in a healthy way, we will grasp for it anywhere we can. Thus, the birth of the drama triangle and the victim, villain, and hero roles. The drama triangle, first introduced by Stephen Cartman in 1968, is a useful map of these roles and the dynamics that can arise in human relationships. So let's dig into those. Before we get into defining the three roles of the drama triangle, it should be stated that we all have a preferred starting point. a role in which we feel most comfortable. This is due in large part with the strategies that we developed early in life in order to navigate the world around us. Yet, this is only the beginning of the drama triangle, and we don't stay in this position forever. So, the three roles, let's dig into those. First, the victim. No matter where on the triangle we start, at some point we all land in the victim role. This position is defined by feelings of overwhelm and a perceived lack of agency. The victim is waiting for someone to come save them. Some statements associated with the victim are, "I don't have any choice. You don't know my pain. Why does this always happen to me? I have to sacrifice myself." Paradoxically, by giving away their agency, the victim creates within themselves a feeling of specialness. Ultimately, none of us really want to feel helpless, so we create ways of shifting roles and reasserting control over our lives and relationships. Moving on, the hero. This role derives its comfort from being in service to others. What's wrong with that, you may ask? Nothing if it's engaged in with integrity and awareness. Support and care for others is an integral part of human relationships. Yet the hero avoids authentically relating and taking responsibility for themselves by focusing on the needs of others and expecting a reward in return. It's a form of escaping their own uncomfortable feelings and their discomfort with other people's feelings. Statements associated with this role are, "I'll make it all better. I'll keep you from harm. Let's all get along. I'm kind and caring." By placing themselves in a position of service, heroes are able to bypass the tough look in the mirror of their own personal inner work. Eventually, resentments build up, as this role is seeking external validation, which in itself is a hunger that can never be satisfied. What about the villain? Asserting control by focusing on one particular and convenient answer is the primary indicator of the villain role. This position dictates to themselves and those around them the correct way of solving a problem or navigating life. Even with the best intentions, the rigidity of this relational approach amplifies others' lack of agency. Some statements associated with the villain are, "You're doing it wrong. My needs are most important. My way or the highway. I have the answer." Remember, the first step is to notice that fact and then recognize where exactly you are in it. Oh boy, I identify with all three of them at one point or another. Taking responsibility for your past, present, and future involves a mind shift and proactive steps to change your behavior and attitudes. So, let's get some good action to get started on this journey. Acknowledge the past. Reflect on past actions and decisions without blame or judgment. I know it's hard, but it's so important. Acknowledge mistakes and learn from them, understanding that they have helped shape who you are today. Try as you might, live in the present. Focus on the present moment and the choices you make now. Take ownership of your current circumstances and actions, knowing that they contribute to your future outcomes. It's your time to own it. Set some goals. Define what you want to achieve in the future and create a plan to get there. Remember, break them down into smaller, manageable steps and take action towards them consistently. Step up and own your decisions. Accept that you're responsible for the decisions you make, whether they lead you to success or failure. Learn from both outcomes and use them to make better decisions in the future. It's critical that you practice self-awareness. Pay attention to your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. Notice patterns that may be holding you back and take steps to change them. If you don't see them on your own, seek feedback. Be open to feedback from others and use that to grow. Constructive criticism can help you see things from a different perspective and improve your self-awareness. It's important to be accountable. We just learned that. Hold yourself accountable for your actions and outcomes. Avoid making excuses or blaming others for your circumstances. Learn and adapt. Embrace a growth mindset. That is the first step. And see challenges as opportunities for learning and growth. Be willing to adapt your approach based on the new information and experiences you've learned and had. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you. Taking personal responsibility is an ongoing process that requires self-reflection, resilience, and a commitment to growth. By adopting these practices, you can start taking control of your life and shaping a more fulfilling future. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, how I wound up here.